I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. Oh, you know I believe in miracles. You've heard me say it over and over again. But remember, I believe in those miracles because I believe in God. The greatest security in the whole world. No man, no woman can have a greater security than to know that God is there. Underneath all of those uncertainties of life, God is there. In the midnight hour when it's so dark, there's one who's there, who'll never leave you, never forsake you. To know that you're kept in the hollow of his hand. With that security, it's the simplest thing in the world to come to him and believe him for a miracle in that time of need. I want that the next few minutes will mean much to you. Not something that you enjoy, but something that'll bless your soul. Something that'll be very enlightening to you. And I want to remind you of one thing that's vitally important. And that is the fact that the Bible is the very Word of God. It isn't something that you can just turn your back on. And it's God's Word. It's final. It's absolute authority. It comes from the highest authority in heaven and earth. You see, that's one reason that the whole world is in the mess that it is. Perhaps it's the one reason why you are in your present circumstance, living a life of defeat. Because you're living contrary to God's word. You cannot be successful. You cannot live a life of victory if you're living contrary to God's word. Men, nations today are living contrary to the Bible. And that is the reason that literally nations and men alike are destroying themselves. Today, for just a few minutes, we're going to do something. And it all began some time ago in the Palladium in Hollywood when I passed out some slips of paper and I had these thousands of Jesus people write out the question they want answered most. It was so thrilling. It was so informative to all of us that I brought them into the studio and began answering them. And the response has been so tremendous. Mothers and dads, theologians, people who were never interested in the Bible before, have written to me and said, "Oh, Catherine Kuhlman, won't you please do it again? Do it often. We're learning so much." It isn't really preaching, not really. It's just answering your questions and answering them according to the Word of God. Now, for instance, I'll just take a few. And, here's one. I want to be saved. How long will it take? Will Jesus come before the 7 years of tribulation or after? Do you think that it'll be scary when the rapture comes? Is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit three different bodies? What if you believe in Jesus, but you don't feel it? Can you still be saved? Now, these are all questions that have been asked by young people. And I gave them only a few minutes to write out the question they want answered most. Please explain what it means when it says that we are the sons of God. Oh, they're thrilling. Will I know for sure? There's no end to all of their questions. All this thing of resurrection, will the bodies of everybody be resurrected? Can you explain more fully the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to do something now for the next several minutes. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And remember, every answer will be backed up with the Word of God. Let's take the very first question. I'll answer this as quickly as I possibly can. And if at any time I do not answer the question according to the Word of God, if you can prove to me by God's Word that I have answered it contrary to the Word of God, remember, the Bible is always right. You can stake your life on the Word of God. This is literally the highest authority in heaven and earth. And God will keep His Word. All right, let's take the very first one. I want to be saved. How long do you think it'll take? That's a good one. You know something? When it comes to this thing of salvation, and those of us who are Christians speak of it so lightly when we talk about being saved. Many a time the unregenerated man or woman has no idea what we're talking about. When we talk about the new birth experience, they know absolutely nothing regarding that wonderful transaction. The one who's asked this question, I want to be saved, how long do you think it will take? I know immediately they know nothing about salvation. You see, when we come to this discussion regarding predestination, God is not willing that any should perish. Every man, every woman, in the mind of God, is predestined to be saved. But we're created as free moral agents. Therefore, we literally, you, sir, you little lady, you make your decision. If you go to hell, it'll not be because God sent you to hell. You made the choice. You chose to be lost. The new birth experience of being saved is accepting for yourself that which has already been bought and paid for you by Jesus, the Son of the living God. When Jesus died on the cross and cried, "It is finished." Oh, those words have great meaning. In that moment, through the shedding of his own blood, the giving of his own life, he paid in full. He took upon himself your sins and my sins. And he paid in full the price for your salvation, for my salvation. But it's left with every individual. It's left with you. It's left with me. The acceptance of that which Jesus bought and paid for us. In exactly the same way, a man is condemned to die. Perhaps he committed murder. He's condemned to die, and he knows he's condemned to die, and he's waiting to be taken to the gas chamber. But there's a pardon. The governor affixes his name. The seal of the state is placed upon that pardon. It's a genuine pardon. And while he's waiting to go to the gas chamber, a guard goes in, unlocks the door, and he hands him that pardon. How long does it take that man to be a free man? Freedom is his the very second that he reaches out and accepts that pardon. The very second that he accepts it, that moment he is a free man. How long does it take a man or woman to be saved? Just as long as it takes you to reach up and accept that which Jesus did for you personally on the cross. Just a second. It's a transaction. It's something definite. The question, I read it just a second ago, said, will I know? Will I be sure? Can you have such a glorious experience without knowing? Of course you'll know. You'll know just as definitely as the man who reached out and accepted the pardon. In that second, he knows. He doesn't have to go to that gas chamber. The pardon is his. He holds it in his hand, and he walks out a free man. You tell me there's no emotion connected with that? Of course there's emotion. Tell me he doesn't know that he's free? Of course he knows that he's free. And so it is with our salvation. But the Bible says there's even more. When that transaction takes place, the Word of God says, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we have been set free, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. How long does it take? Just a second. But in that second, the greatest miracle that you can ever experience, I know, in your life, has just taken place. That's thrilling, that's exciting. It's so simple. So reasonable. And he's so willing for you to have that experience. All right, let's take the next one. It says, will Jesus come before the 7 years of tribulation or after? I hope I can make this very clear to you. There are two phases to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first, when he comes for his church. 7 years later, he comes to earth. And so far as we know, it'll be the very first time that he has set foot in bodily form upon the earth. The rapture comes, the great catching up comes on the very threshold of the great tribulation. First the rapture, when Jesus comes for his church. 7 years of great tribulation, suffering as this world has never known. Neither will man ever know such suffering again. And we're on the very threshold of that now. The world at this very hour, even while I'm speaking to you, is on the very threshold of that time of great suffering, of great tribulation. Following the 7 years of great tribulation, then we have Jesus coming back to Earth in bodily form. All right, here comes the next one. Do you think it'll be scary when the rapture comes? I want to answer that from the Word of God. And I'm going to read to you from the 24th chapter. Oh, somebody says, finally, Miss Kuhlman has a new Bible. No, not really. Not really. You know, the reason I have this one today, because this portion of my old Bible is so worn, I cannot hold it together any longer. And so I had to resort to this one. But somehow it just doesn't take the place of the other. But it's still God's Word. Turn, if you will, please, to the 24th chapter of Matthew. And the question is whether or not it'll be scary. Well, let's turn to the 32nd verse. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the very doors. Now, one of these days, I'm going to take time to explain that to you, because many have asked, how will we know, and how do we know, how can you say that we're on the very threshold of the rapture? On the very threshold of the great time of suffering, such as the world has never known. I can back it up from the Word of God. In the very near future, I'll answer that question. Now, is it going to be scary? Watch. Let me read this portion. It's so thrilling. The day and the hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. He's talking now about the very first phase of the second coming. Not scary. Why? Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Why was one taken and the other left? Because one had had that wonderful experience that I just talked about a few minutes ago. They had accepted the pardon. That's what makes the difference. It isn't a matter of whether you've been filled with the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has only to do with our salvation. The one that was left is the one who had rejected that great pardon. Rejected Jesus Christ as his Savior. It makes all the difference in the world what you do with Jesus Christ. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. What made the difference? The acceptance of Christ. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be taken. When Jesus comes for his own, when he comes for the saints, when he comes for you and for me, he will come, the Word of God says, as a thief in the night. He'll not be scared. Really? The one asleep will continue to sleep the rest of the night, perhaps a sound sleep, and he'll not be aware of the fact that the second one in the bed was taken until he awakens in the morning. I do not believe that there'll be a sound. I do not believe the sleeping world will know until that one is gone. For when a thief comes, he doesn't ring the doorbell. He doesn't sound a gong. He doesn't shout. He comes very quietly. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I cannot tell you the day, I cannot tell you the hour. And remember that which I've been talking about is the first phase of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we call the rapture. After the rapture, 7 years later, then it is that Jesus comes back in bodily form, the second phase of his coming. When every eye shall see him. When every head shall bow and every knee shall bend, and he comes back, King of kings and Lord of lords. But his first coming, that which we call the rapture, he comes for his saints. And he comes quietly. His feet do not touch the earth. We meet him in the air. No man, no woman knows the day or the hour when this great event will take place. The Word of God says, not even the angels in heaven know. It's known to God alone. The times and the seasons we can know, but the day or the hour, no man knoweth. Watch, therefore, beloved, and be